It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coaching Forest Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. Also, O'Reilly's Irish Pub, their home of the weekly Auburn football watch parties. They're located at 321 South Palafox Street downtown. And, of course, happy Thanksgiving to one and all. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. Bill, happy Thanksgiving to you and War Eagle, good morning, my friend.
War Eagle, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Boy, what a great week to talk about Auburn athletics.
Yeah.
This has been a magical kind of week, and I hope it continues all the way into Saturday.
Absolutely. There's, you know, I this is the most pep rally-ish that we're going to have this show be so far this season because we're kind of firing on all cylinders here. Not only did Auburn football look, I mean, they had their best win of the season, but Auburn basketball, they've got some of the highest implications coming into this season so far, and they've been cooking in the Maui Invitational, have they not?
Absolutely. Ranked number 4 in the country with arguably the best single player in NCAA in Janiah Broom. I mean, he looks unbeatable by himself, and he's got great talent on the boards and on the floor around him that, you know, it takes that kind of team to make that kind of player shine.
Right.
And I mean, to play 3 games within 48 hours. the first game, you had to come back from an 18-point deficit to win it at a buzzer beater and win it by 2.
Right.
And then the other 2 games were really never in doubt. We were pretty much led most of the game, if not all of the game. Last night's game, we scored the first, I believe, 10 points, and we never trailed by more than, I think, 8.
Wow.
Or led by any less than 8.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And it was just a, you know, it's just so fun to watch a team that plays that well together. They're so well coached. You can tell they all are on the same sheet of music, and they all feed off of each other.
Right.
And it maximizes everybody's talents when those kind of players can play that well together. But Janiah Broom, I mean, what can you say about him? In the Maui Classic, 3 games, he averaged 21.7 points, 15 rebounds, 4.3 assists, and 3 blocks. he's just a wrecking ball by himself out there on the court.
Yeah.
And the other players, a lot of them, we had a lot of players in double digits in every game in points.
Right.
They weren't getting the same number of assists and rebounds that Janiah is, but you know, Janiah's almost 7 feet tall. He's, when the ball's in the air, whether it's offensively or defensively, he's under the basket. He's ready, which accounts for all those rebounds. It's just the way they flow and control the tempo of the game and dominate in turnovers. If you ever watch an Auburn basketball game, you'll notice when the other team's trying to inbound, Auburn is 100% fully engaged with blocking their inbound.
Yeah.
And we've stolen like 3 or 4 possessions while they're trying to inbound from the inline or from the side in every game. You know, I mean, plus then you got steals and then you got blocks. Most of the blocks end up in turnovers because, you know, you put that big hand on the ball, you push it the other direction.
Right away, yeah.
Yeah, you usually have a player right there behind him to get the ball. So it's just really exciting. This is a better team, in my opinion, than what we had in 2019, and we went to the Final Four in 2019.
Yeah.
We have better athletes on this team. It's same coach. It's the same method of playing. We primarily play man defense and shooting guards and a big guy under the net. It's pretty much a carbon copy of 2019 with a little bit better athletes and a deeper bench.
Right. I told you before we even went live this morning, I said, you know, maybe I just haven't done my research. Maybe I need to go back to the drawing board. But Auburn is looking like one of the most proven teams right now, with the wins over Iowa State, North Carolina, and Memphis. That's 3 games where you hit 80 points or more. So you're very offensively stout. A lot of depth. We've talked about that last week. But, yeah, Janiah Broom helping dominate this team. Great defensive talent with the boards and blocks. Blocks is one of the things I've been keeping track of. And especially when he played someone like Memphis who wasn't ranked. They were unbeaten, but they weren't ranked. Smaller talent, 4 blocks, just phenomenal. I mean, you're not playing Loyola Marymount here. But even if you were, that would be impressive. You're playing some of these guys that were supposed to, similarly to Auburn, have some implications coming into this season. Iowa State was, what, a 2 seed last year? North Carolina, the name speaks for itself. Auburn's got to be the most proven team right now when you look at whom they've played and how deep they've looked against everyone.
Yeah, we've played better quality opponents than most of the other teams in the top 10. I mean, we started the season ranked 11.
Right.
And then we ended up moving up to number 4 before this tournament. And I'm sure we're going to probably move up again because the number 1 and 2 teams both got beat. I'm looking for Auburn to stay in the top 6 for the rest of the season. I mean, I'm not naive enough to believe that we're going to go undefeated. It'd be nice. It's very rare that a basketball team goes undefeated for the whole season. And we're not quite a blue blood, but we're becoming a basketball team. It's not just a football team anymore. Auburn is becoming a basketball school.
Right.
And you got to give it to Coach Bruce Pearl. When he came here, he attracted that type of talent. Kids wanted to come and play for him because they knew what kind of basketball program he ran. And he coaches out their skills that allow them to move to the next level, which is obviously important to these kids. And now with NIL being a part of it and drawing kids out of the portal, it's easy to rebuild your team yearly instead of every 2 to 3 years.
Right.
So this is a product of being able to pull some good talent out of the portal, stick them on your bench. Janiah Broome's been with us forever. Dylan Cardwell's been with us forever. Denver Jones was a pull out of the portal. So was Baker Mazzara. And then Pegues and Pettiford both came out of the portal this past year. And they're all scoring 13 points, 16 points, 18 points, 13 points.
You know?
And Janiah Broome, 32 points against Memphis. I mean, that's over a third of the point total that Auburn had in that game alone. You know, scored 90. He had 32 of those. And he made some of them look like they were effortless. He was just in the right place, and he's got such a great big wingspan that as soon as he hooks the ball or does the little layup, his hand's already a foot above the rim.
Yeah, you can't stop it.
Yeah. The only way you could defend him is to goaltend.
Right. And, you know, especially with a team like Memphis, who, as we said, you know, they were unbeaten. They had a good start, but, you know, unranked, expected to be smaller, playing weaker competition as we get into the meat of their season. When you look at a team like that, it's those games where you expect the gap in talent to shine. And, I think it's I know Memphis is going to struggle, but when you look at the games like Iowa State, Houston, North Carolina, you got Duke coming up next Wednesday. I do think it's a matter of, okay, well, maybe it's not the smaller talent that can't stop this guy. Maybe no one can. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning right here on ESPN Pensacola. And Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Talking about this basketball stuff. Yeah, this Janiah Broome, he is. He truly is something else. And I feel you on paper should be able to go toe-to-toe with anyone in the SEC now with who you've already beat. I know the SEC is becoming a deeper conference in basketball, and Auburn's a big reason for that. But there's also teams like Alabama and Tennessee who are trying to float around. You got to worry about the guys like Kentucky. You know, they're a household name, and they've got a new head coach. So there's a lot of implications conference-wide, but I just don't know who's going to be able to consistently prove, hey, we're visibly better than this Auburn team. I just don't see it right now.
I don't either. Our next big challenge is December the 5th. We play Duke. Mm. It is at Duke. So that'll be another test on the road.
Yeah.
But with this team, you know, heck, they traveled what?
However far away Maui is.
Yeah, six time zones away. And, you know, we're tipping off at 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. their time, which was 11, almost 11 o'clock our time. And they were up to the challenge. So they're just so well prepared, so well coached, and they play within themselves. I didn't see any of them try to do the low percentage thing.
Right.
And if the shot wasn't there, they didn't take it. You know, they didn't put themselves in a position where they looked sloppy and made mistakes.
Good trigger discipline.
It was play your game, play your scheme, move the ball around. That's another thing they're really good at. That's why each of them have so many assists, is they're moving the ball around and they're feeding it to the guy that is open that can make the shot.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to take a low percentage shot themselves. They're giving themselves opportunities, and they're bouncing, literally bouncing off each other, which is it's so good to see a team that's that well focused and that fluid. It looks effortless when you're watching it, but you know they're expending everything they have. They're bringing their A game.
Yeah.
But when they're that well prepared, it should look effortless.
Yeah, and it's a shame that sometimes you'll, especially in this era where we're always hearing about the money and transferring, you know, when you've got these stories dominating the headlines, logically speaking, the chances of having a well-ingrained culture on a team and seeing that chemistry really shine on the court is going to be all the less likely. I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. We see it in football with someone like Florida State, and sometimes it can translate over to basketball. Auburn, though, it looks like that hasn't been a problem. As you said, they've gotten multiple transfers, but they've put in the time, and they've worked with one another clearly very well. And, yeah, when you're firing on all cylinders like that, especially at the level that you are, I'm at a loss for words. It's phenomenal.
I'm not War Eagle.
Yeah, I'm not. This is what we do, baby.
Yeah, this is a time to shout it as loud as you can, War Eagle.
Yeah, that's what you. Yeah, War Eagle is the only words I can come up with. Let me rephrase. But yeah, it's Auburn basketball, some of the deepest and most proven in the country. And in a couple minutes here, we'll go to break. We got a couple more minutes left. We can touch on this a little bit more. But I'm glad that we did this show on Thanksgiving, because first of all, we've got the Iron Bowl coming up. But second of all, Auburn basketball and Auburn football have really decided to mesh very well this week, because, of course, Auburn had that huge upset over Texas A&M.
Yeah, that was a great game. It was fun to watch. It was great to see Auburn bring the same level of competency and effort and teamwork together that they did against ULM and bring it to their home field,
yeah,
against an SEC opponent. You know, it was just it was obviously a much better quality team than ULM,
so, right?
And the score reflects that. But four overtimes, I mean, I didn't see that coming.
No, well, and I don't think anyone saw Auburn's offense breaking 40 points.
No, that game, I don't remember what the over and under was, but it definitely went over.
Well, because remember, you and I both had the score being 27-17. So
yeah,
we had our over under 44.
Yeah, I would have been tickled to death with 27-17. But
yeah, the
43-41 is good.
So we had 44 as our over under, and their over under was 84. So yeah, we were just off by a smidge, just a little bit.
Yeah, it had a lot to do with the crowd there at the stadium.
Right.
They didn't.
It was a trap game for sure.
Nobody left. Everybody stayed, and of course, Auburn got penalized for the kids rushing the field. But you know, they'll take that.
Yeah, they don't care.
you know, it was a marquee win for us this year when we've been so challenged and being able to put a good product together all at the same time with everybody playing together on the field. In the last two games, we've managed to do that. Now the ULM game, we played mistake free, no penalties.
Right.
This game, we did have a turnover and we had a few penalties, but we didn't let those dictate the outcome of the game. That was a big difference in previous mistakes and previous penalties. So,
yeah, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly. Just about 10:16 here. We'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll do a bit of a deeper dive, kind of put into perspective how this game against A&M unfolded and what it could mean for Auburn, giving them that extra push that they need as they enter the Iron Bowl. Details on all that and more coming up. Once again, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly right here on ESPN Pensacola, 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
War Eagle fans, the Big Auburn Football Watch Party is Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown. O'Reilly's is home of the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club and the perfect spot to root your Tigers on. O'Reilly's with TV screens throughout the bar, delicious eats from pub bites to sandwiches, wings, football platters, and full meal fares. Quench your thirst from a huge variety of beers, beverages, and extensive bar selections. The Auburn Football Watch Party, Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub, 321 South Palafox Street, downtown. War Eagle!
It's weed, not alcohol. It just relaxes me. I'm a better driver when I'm high. I do it all the time, no problem.
THC reduces your reaction time by half a second, impacting your attention, coordination, and lane tracking. A delay of just half a second can be the difference between life and death. Stay alert, stay alive. Don't drive high.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Transportation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hey folks, when it comes to Christmas trees, don't get played by foreign plastic. Just like you wouldn't replace a prized QB with a mannequin, don't replace American Farm Fresh trees with fake foreign plastic. These farm families are the MVPs of Christmas, growing champions right here on American soil. They're not sitting on the bench. They're out there every day growing real Christmas traditions. Make the winning choice, Farm Fresh Christmas trees, not foreign plastic that pollutes. Visit GetRealKeepItReal.com to find your local farm MVP.
Don't let cold season make you miserable. Try the quick drug-free solution for nasal congestion, Navage. Navage uses gentle suction to flush out your sinuses with refreshing saline, helping you breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier all winter long. And here's even better news. Navage is now available at select warehouse clubs in a great new value pack. It's everything you need to start breathing better fast. Check out Navage at your local retailer today. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Breathe easy.
Escape to the Pony Gentleman's Club at 500 East Gregory Street. Three or more cans of food or an unused unwrapped toy will get you in for free this holiday season. And you won't want to miss the Pony Christmas Party December 21st at 7 p.m. Enjoy extended happy hour and enticing drink specials from noon to 7, Monday through Saturday. Doors open at 7 p.m. on Sundays. Show a local event ticket for complimentary entry and savor exclusive signature cocktails. Elevate your nights where sophistication meets indulgence. The Pony Gentleman's Club.
You want it? You got it. College football on ESPN Pensacola.
Green 18!
Saturday, the 6-5 University of Michigan Wolverines take on the 10-1 Ohio State Buckeyes at 10:30 a.m. Ohio State's number 3 in the Big Ten. Can Michigan put a dent in that record? Catch every pass, every play right here. ESPN Pensacola. Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night.
Green 18!
This is your home for every primetime NFL game. ESPN Pensacola.
Listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Cochin Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway and O'Reilly's Irish Pub. They're located at 321 South Palafox Street downtown. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And Bill, when we left off, we were talking about the state of Auburn basketball, first of all, and they're looking like America's sweetheart today. But we started hinting at Texas A&M on the football side of things, 43-41. We knew this could be a trap game. Bettors knew it could be a trap game. I think Texas A&M went into this game with, what, a 2.5-point spread? And they lost by 2, so it looks like it was at least somewhat accurate.
Yeah, that I knew when we talked about it last week that the spread was probably right where it should be.
Yeah.
You made a head pick in picking – Texas A&M, and I made a heart pick and picking Auburn, but we had the same score. But both of us would have never seen 84 points in this game.
No.
OTs. Be it overtime or not, I would have never seen 84 points. It looked in those last overtimes like the team that was fresher on the field was the one that came out the victor. Auburn looked a little bit fresher than Texas A&M. They look a little winded, especially defensively. And, you know, it made a difference in the game. But Peyton Thorne had a great game.
He did.
19 of 31 for 301 yards, two touchdowns. And the interception was a tip ball.
Yeah, you can't really put that on.
Yeah, the defender made a play on it, and he tipped it, and he just happened to tip it right to his teammate that was on his left side. And it, I mean, he had no choice but to catch it. It was going to hit him in the gut.
Just fell into his hands.
So that's not the game-killer type interception like what we were throwing against Cal and the other games where we had just game-killing, drive-killing interceptions that were crushing. This one wasn't that way. The very next series, Auburn came right back and marched it right down the field and got points.
Right.
So that's the difference that this Auburn team this week and the last week is from the first part of the year. We didn't let the mistakes get in your head and create more mistakes on the field. So I really enjoyed it. Plus Jarquez Hunter, another 100-yard game.
28 carries, you know, getting the carries he needs.
He's almost at 1,200 yards for the season. He had 28 carries. Of course, we're talking four overtimes as well.
Yeah,
but
he
still,
tacks him on there.
We need that kind of performance out of him in the Bama game. That's what we need, that kind of average, 4.6 yards.
Right.
I don't know that he needs to carry the ball 28 times unless it goes to overtime, but he definitely needs to have 20 carries.
Yeah,
20 to 22 carries. Something like that, because, you know, Damari Austin had a couple of carries. Cobb didn't get any carries, but he did get out there on the field, and he was actually more of a decoy for a couple of plays than he was as a running back. He's the play action pass. Once we established the run, we could run the play action pass, which is why Thorne's numbers were so good, because the play action pass really opened up the passing game.
Right.
Once you give the ball to Jarquez 8 or 10 times and he's busting out 6-8 yards a carry, now the whole defense has to play 10 yards in. And it made those little 8 to 15 yard hitch plays money. And of course that one deep ball that Thorne threw and Cam Coleman
I'm falling in love with that guy.
He split the defenders and he was four steps behind them and the ball was absolutely, he didn't have to break stride and catch it. That's the difference in Peyton Thorne now than what we saw 5-6 games ago. He recognized what was going to happen. He and his receiver are on the same sheet of music, and Cam just opened it up, split the defenders, and he dropped the ball right in the breadbasket, and it was 6 points.
Yeah,
right. It's of course then the cool thing about being a fan at Auburn when you're at the ball game is you see something like that and you can feel it coming when you see the ball in the air and you see what's developing and you know, okay, this is it. And when he catches it, then the whole crowd just explodes. It's the same thing I remember seeing when we had that fourth and long catch against Georgia in 2013,
the prayer of Jordan Hare.
Yeah. It's exactly the same thing, only this ball wasn't tipped, you know.
Right.
But it was the same feeling. It's that, that's what I love about being at that ball game. That kind of ball game is when you see that happen on the field, the energy in the crowd, it's no other place on earth like it.
Right. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And, yeah, Bill, I'm looking at some of the stats. Of course, Jarquez had a great game. Peyton Thorne had a strangely good game. Coleman and Keandre Lambert-Smith, KLS as we call him. They all had great games. Of course, there were some negatives. Auburn had a 21-0 lead and blew the entirety of it. That's a concern. The problem is you expected A&M to be a tough game. I keep calling it a trap game, and some people could take that as an insult because it kind of comes off as a fluke. But it is worth noting Auburn had 469 yards of offense, and they scored the second most points on A&M all season. I wanted to touch on this. Y'all won 43-41. The only team to score more than you, South Carolina, scored 44. Third place, two-win Mississippi State scored 24. So, you know, we can say what we want about this being a trap game because by some definition it certainly was, but – This was, as you mentioned, Auburn's best game. It was one of Thorne's best games. It was one of Hunter's best games. It was one of Cam Coleman's best games. Everybody fired on all cylinders for this one. A&M could not stop you, and which definitely seems out of character for their defense. And you got a big game coming up. Your shirt even says it. Beat Bama. Iron Bowl. Let's talk about Bama real quick before we get into what this Auburn-Bama matchup is going to be. The Tide made y'all pretty happy this weekend as well. 24-3, loss to Oklahoma. What in the world was that?
It looked like the same Alabama team that went to Vandy.
Yeah, a team that was out of their element.
Yeah, they I don't know if they were looking past Oklahoma because of Oklahoma's record.
I don't know.
But, I mean, you can't go into Norman, Oklahoma, regardless of what their record is, and look beyond that team. I mean, because they were at the top of the pecking order in their previous conference. And,
yeah.
And, you know, now they're in arguably, and I firmly believe they're in a much better conference now, competition-wise.
Absolutely.
So you can't go into that thinking, well, this game should be a win for us, and let's start thinking about the playoffs,
right.
And let's start thinking about going back home and playing Auburn, and getting the bragging rights for 364 days. I kind of think that might be where they were. They kind of played like that, like they were almost in a stupor. Especially defensively, they looked so out of character for Alabama. Normally, their defense is so much better than that.
Because what's the
but
name
Jason
that
Milroe,
guy?
Jason Milroe, just he didn't look sharp.
Oh no, Jalen, he threw three interceptions, one of which was a pick six, and he was a turnover machine for weeks. And it looked like he had just gotten it together. And yeah, then he crashes and burns. That was a big part of their offensive struggles. But Oklahoma, yeah, they've had a physical defense throughout this season. That was their saving grace in some of their earlier games. But
that's how they beat Auburn,
right? And then you've got that Jackson Arnold, I think his name is. That's his name, the Oklahoma QB. This dude, he's running up and down the field like you would expect Milroe to, and Bama just cannot stop it. And then they had their running back go off as well.
Yeah, he looked like the quarterback for Vandy the way he played in that Alabama game.
Right.
It looked to me like Oklahoma really paid a lot of attention to the game film out of the Vandy game.
Yeah.
And copied a lot of the things that they saw that were successful, especially offensively. And they capitalized on it. And, of course, they had the home field advantage. So it looked like a well-done Oklahoma effort and a lackluster Alabama effort.
Yeah, the parallels to the Vanderbilt game, I don't even think simply come down to application. I think it also comes down to lesson. We learned this against Vandy, and we learned it again against the Sooners. This Alabama team, just with where they are now, you can't look at them and expect them, oh, this game's unlosable. Under Nick Saban, we said that about Alabama a lot. You just can't say that now. So, Bama got humbled, and I think the groundwork is there for you guys to give them a scare. You have a great running back, just like Oklahoma did. You got this Jarquez Hunter fella. We've already talked about how he's an MVP for y'all. But also, Peyton Thorne, he may not be the dual threat that Jackson Arnold kid was last week, but he can use his feet when he needs to. If he has half as decent of a passing game as he had against Texas A&M, Bama's in trouble.
Yep, Peyton Thorne can use his legs when he needs to.
Right.
Last week, he had 11 carries, which included the two sacks that he took for 38 yards and a 3.5 yard average. He had that one carry on it was fourth and two, maybe fourth and three. Mm. And he stepped back and he saw that everybody was covered, but he saw that the line opened up a hole for him. And he took off on, I want to say it was a 17, 18 yard run on fourth and two. So he's not afraid to pull the ball down now and take off with it. He has confidence in his ability to run. He has confidence in his offensive line to keep the defenders off of him long enough for him to make that kind of decision.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing too. So I'm looking for good things out of them. This could really be one of those trap game, so to speak. You've got Alabama coming off of an unexpected
loss.
Loss. coming into a rivalry game at home, and Auburn coming off of a big marquee win for us this season,
right?
With arguably the best running back in the conference, and a good solid defense, and of course we'll get into it a little bit later, but a lot of trash talking, and you know, this is Alabama wants to be still viable in the playoffs. Auburn wants to become bowl eligible. It's a rivalry game. Everybody's going to be pinning back their ears and their hair's going to be on fire. And I'm hoping to see that type of game. If it comes down to 21-20, that's the kind of game I expect this to be. I expect it to be just an in the dirt, push your face in the mud, you know, kind of football game. Hopefully it's not raining, but if it is, it will be muddy.
So. Well, yeah, it's always a tricky rivalry, and with it being just a little bit past 10:30, we'll take a quick break. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly right here on ESPN Pensacola every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m., and on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. When we return, we'll talk about some of the factors that are kind of making this game a bit trickier than usual. Auburn could be having a hangover game. Alabama, surprisingly, still in the playoff hunt. Maybe they're going to have a bit of a rebirth. But also, they are unbeaten in Tuscaloosa this year. So there's just a lot to consider as we head into this game. But either way, we'll touch on that in a moment. And, of course, as a parting note, this broadcast is brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
War Eagle fans, the big Auburn football watch party is Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown. O'Reilly's is home of the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club and the perfect spot to root your Tigers on. O'Reilly's with TV screens throughout the bar, delicious eats from pub bites to sandwiches, wings, football platters, and full meal fares. With your 30s variety of beer beverages, extensive bar selections. The Auburn football watch party, Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub, 321 South Palafox Street, downtown. War Eagle!
All right, gentlemen, this is Emmitt Smith on behalf of Depend, and I've got the perfect play. Run straight to your doctor's office for a life-changing kit. Because when prostate cancer is caught early, it's up to 99% treatable, and one blood test might be all it takes. And now through November, Depend is donating to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for select purchases. Talk about a great play.
From September 1st to November 30th, Depend is donating 40 cents to the Prostate Cancer Foundation for Depend Shield Guard's Real Fit products purchased in the U.S. up to a maximum of $300,000 void in Mississippi.
Are you ready to unleash the beast? Monster Energy is here to give you the edge this college tailgate season. Loaded with bold flavors, our powerful blend gives you the energy you need to push you beyond your limits. Tune in all season long with Monster, the energy drink of ESPN Radio College Football Tour. Power your performance with a drink that's as hungry for victory as you are. Crack open an ice-cold Monster and dominate your competition. Monster Energy, unleash the beast. Grab yours today.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. Trust your vehicle to the best auto service center in Pensacola, Bobby Likas Auto Service. For years, you've relied on Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway for maintenance and repairs, and now you have a choice. Keep taking your vehicle to the Davis Highway shop or go to their new location on Pensacola Boulevard, 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said, hey.
Bet live with Hard Rock Bet. Real-time wagering till the very last play. Missing the kickoff doesn't mean all bets are off.
Delay a game on the guy who hasn't bet yet.
Sometimes you just know your team is going to come back.
The sportsbook for every kind of player.
Hard Rock Bet. Roll with us.
Get up to $100 back if your first bet doesn't win. Payable and bonus bet up to $100, not a cash offer. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Please call 1-888-ADMIT-IT.
Tomorrow in NFL play, the Black Friday matchup has the Las Vegas Raiders taking on the Kansas City Chiefs at 1:30 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. And Bill, when we left off, we were kind of talking about the Iron Bowl here. There's a lot of implications, and there's actually a lot of legacy points on the line for Kalen DeBoer. That's one thing we were talking about. If DeBoer wins this game, he will be the first coach at Alabama to win his first Iron Bowl since Dennis Franchione did it back in 2001. And also, he would only be the second Alabama head coach, not named Nick Saban, because the first one was Saban, he would be the second, to beat Auburn in Tuscaloosa. Believe it or not, Saban's the only Bama coach that has ever done that. So he's playing for a lot here. This game is, of course, in Tuscaloosa. Bama's unbeaten at home this year. But and Auburn could be hungover. There's a lot of red flags. What do you think is going to be the formula to outweigh all of those concerns?
Mistakes. Who makes the least mistakes?
Discipline.
Yeah.
And Auburn, that's been a huge problem for Bama.
Yeah, Auburn, it was a huge problem for Auburn until the last 3 to 4 games. We've managed to really clean a lot of that up, and we're minimizing what the damage is from the mistakes that we're making. It was so great to play a whole football game last 2 weeks ago without a single penalty.
That's huge.
That tells you that it can be done, and these kids can do it. Of course, it was at a against a different level of talent than what we have in the conference, but still,
right.
It's a mistake. Who makes the least mistakes? And like I said, this game feels like one of those games that could come down to somewhere between 1 and 3 points making the difference. The line on the game this morning before I came in, I believe they said Alabama by 11.5. I do not believe it should be a 2-point or a double-digit spread.
11.5 in favor of the Tide. Yeah. A lot of that's probably them being in Tuscaloosa.
I'm sure it is. It's the home field advantage. But both of these teams have so much to play for outside of it just being the Iron Bowl this year. Alabama is outside looking in on the playoffs. So for them, this is a must-win, and they must do it convincingly to get the committee to put them in, and they have to have help from somebody else in the rankings falling out.
Right.
For Auburn, it's bowl eligibility. You know, we're 5 wins. We need it for bowl eligibility, which means all the seniors that have been there and put all that effort in, especially this year, give them the opportunity to play one more game and put their talents out there before they start looking to go to the next level, if that's what they want to do. Bragging rights.
Of course.
For us as fans, as a fan base, you know, that's what we look forward to. We get to carry that. You either get to carry that piece of coal around for a year or you get to carry around a basket full of fruit and flowers for a year. You know, it's that important to most of the fan base, especially for the fan bases that have ties to the university.
Right.
You know, it's a pride thing. Auburn's always been like the troublemaking little brother to Alabama.
Always been a thorn in the side.
Not quite a stepchild, but just a troublemaking, nagging little brother.
The one that gets on your nerves.
And every now and then we come out and we grab a hold of Alabama and flip the script on them. I'm sure hoping this is one of those years. I think this is a team that can do it.
Oh, for sure.
We're going to have to wait till Saturday to see if they do it.
Well, I'm looking at, you know, because we've got ESPN pulled up here. Believe it or not, ESPN Pensacola, who would have thought of that? And I'm looking at, you know, every game they list who is the leading passer coming into this into the game, who's the leading rusher, who's the leading receiver. All of those fall in favor of Auburn. Peyton Thorne, Jarquez Hunter, Keandre Lambert-Smith.
You know, I heard that on one of the programs coming in this morning was that on paper, Peyton Thorne and Jalen Milroe this season, Peyton has better stats than Jalen Milroe outside of rushing.
Right. Jalen's more of a dual threat.
Yeah. So in the passing arena, Peyton on paper looks better. Cam Coleman just – I know Alabama's got that phenom 17-year-old.
Yeah.
But Cam Coleman has stepped up and played out of his shoes, and he's a freshman. Our big Achilles heel still is the kicking game, but we picked up that kid that was a walk-on after Birmingham Southern closed their program down, and he's showing signs of being a really, really good kicker.
Yeah. He's a step up, at the very least.
It gives us one more in depth, and it gives us a little more opportunity to create some scoring opportunities with the kicking game. Our punt return and kick return team has flashes of good things. We haven't turned the ball over in a punt or a kick return this year. That was always a problem. Calling for a fair catch and muffing the kick or something like that. We always had one or two games a year where that almost was a game changer. We haven't seen that. I'm hoping we don't see that. This team is hungry. They're hungry for a victory. They're hungry for the bragging rights. They're hungry to get bowl eligible. And speaking of getting hungry, if you are hungry, go to Coach and Four Steakhouse. Saddle up to the bar. Get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. And if you want to come eat and celebrate with the Auburn Club, come to O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown. Come upstairs. We're going to have a watch party. Kickoff's at 2:30. We'll probably be there a good 45 minutes before the game. We'll have our own drink specials and plenty of food and plenty of people bleeding orange and blue and rooting on the Tigers. So had to get the plugs in there.
I was about to say, let me ask you a question. Before this show started, you had never been on radio before, right?
No.
Well, you're
other than my previous profession, but it wasn't this type of radio.
I was about to say you are a natural, my friend. All right, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly on ESPN Pensacola every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And you can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. and on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. You can also find this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous ones, along with other podcasts, on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. So, I figured since you started the plugs, I ought as well finish them off before we get into this SEC slate here. All right, so we got two games on Black Friday. Mississippi State at Ole Miss, Egg Bowl. Now, this is one of several games that I think is really going to cause chaos, or could, in the playoff hunt, because we just now talked about Alabama being controversially ranked 13th. Ole Miss is right behind them at 14th. So these teams are sitting here thinking, hey, if some nonsense happens, we may still have a case. Do you think Ole Miss is trying to play some spoiler here?
Oh, absolutely. Ole Miss is hoping for the same thing that Alabama's hoping, that somebody ahead of them on the rankings
falls out,
and Auburn beats Alabama. So if those if those two things happen, then they have a legitimate gripe to get in to the playoff hunt. This is such an awesome game. This is
hate-filled.
This is second only to the Auburn-Alabama rivalry, because I love both schools. Both campuses are awesome. The traditions and the pageantry that they have at their campuses. Everybody thinks of Mississippi State as, you know, Bulldogs and Cowbells.
Right.
But it's really a beautiful campus, and the people there are really, really nice. I've never had a bad experience at a game, going to a game there. Ole Miss, you can't say enough about Ole Miss. I mean, it is probably the most beautiful campus in all of college
football.
It's nice. Football.
It is nice.
And the way they step out for a home game is unbelievable. And, of course, Hotty Toddy, you know, it's real deep South tradition type stuff, and what a great rivalry. I don't know the origins of the Egg Bowl, but
it's respected nonetheless.
I mean, we have the Iron Bowl, but it makes sense because it was always played in Birmingham, which is a steel city. But regardless of what the genesis of that is,
could be an agricultural thing.
It could be, but it's always a fun game to watch because those kids treat that game the same way the Auburn-Alabama kids do. They'll pin their ears back. They're playing with their hair on fire. They're bringing their A game, and they're playing for bragging rights in their state. So it's going to be a fun game. I know it's at Ole Miss, and I think Ole Miss is favored by seven?
They're favored by 27, and I don't believe that. I think Ole Miss will win, but not by 27.
Looking at that Florida game last week, of course, Ole Miss would prefer it to be last year.
yeah, they'd prefer to move on.
I was thinking 7 to 4, somewhere between 7 and 14 points is probably where the line should be.
Yeah, with the added diciness of this rivalry game. 27 is just not happening. I don't care that it's
for Mississippi State this year. This is their bowl game.
Yeah, this is
their bowl absolutely. Game. They're playing for pride. They're playing for bragging rights. So I expect
playing
them to bring,
for a conference win.
I'm expecting them to bring their A game. I just don't know that they're going to be able to keep Ole Miss from scoring points with that Lane Kiffin offense.
No, I agree with you 100%. And then the other Black Friday game, number 7, Georgia, hosting Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech gave the Bulldogs a scare last year. They are currently 7-4. They beat Miami, so they're not a pushover. Do you think they could scare Georgia? Georgia's favored by 18.5.
Absolutely, they could scare Georgia.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wasn't – well, for me, it wasn't that long ago that this was a conference game. Georgia Tech was an original member of the SEC.
Right.
So this used to be the in-conference, in-state rivalry. And I'm glad that they continued it on after Georgia Tech went to the ACC. But Georgia Tech looks really good this year. Of the two or three games that I watched, I didn't watch the whole game, but I watched a great part of it. It looked like their weakness is depth on defense. Georgia is probably going to win this game and probably going to do it by just wearing them out.
Probably, because they are. They're just a significantly better team on paper, and that's what you'd expect. Speaking of those types of games, we got Tennessee, number 8. They travel to Vandy. Vandy 6-5. Obviously, Tennessee is a better team on paper, but they're only favored by 11 as they head into Nashville. Could Vandy play spoiler?
Well, I would normally say Vandy could sneak up on Tennessee and beat them, but this year – Vandy's not sneaking up on anybody.
Yeah, you're prepared for them now.
You know, they've already shown you what they're capable of doing.
That's true.
And with it being a home game, the kids and the school and the players are going to want to see those goalposts torn down again and thrown in the river.
Yeah.
I still don't see them beating Tennessee. Tennessee is a better team, better athletes, more speed. As long as they play their A game, they should win. But if they step in there and do like Alabama did, it's gonna be a knuckle dragging.
It's gonna be a long day. Yeah. Okay. If you're an Alabama fan or an Ole Miss fan, first of all, I'm surprised you're listening. Second of all, number 15 South Carolina travels to number 12 Clemson. They're pulling for the Gamecocks hard here. If Clemson falls out, that helps Bama. That helps Ole Miss. And both of those teams have wins over SC, so that would really beef up their playoff argument. Do you think, going into Death Valley, the Gamecocks can get a win here?
Absolutely.
Clemson favored only by 3.
Yeah, if South Carolina plays like they did against Oklahoma, yes.
Yeah, they're pretty – man, I don't know what to make of them. Sometimes they have a down week, and then they're, they just decide
to me,
to
they're kind of like Florida. They you think they've got the wheels back on. They have that one game where the wheels kind of wobble loose again, but then the next game it's like they – forgot all about that and put the wheels back on again. So this could be the game where they step it up, especially with it being a rivalry game.
Absolutely.
An in-state rivalry game. I think they're gonna have a really good chance to win it.
With it being 10:50 here and with some of these games not having nearly as big of implications, we'll just kind of hit them very quickly. Louisville goes to Kentucky. Kentucky has a pretty heavy hand in this rivalry recently, but they're significantly worse. But they have home field advantage, yet Louisville's favored by 4. You think Kentucky gets it done?
Nah, I like Louisville in this game. Kentucky really? Just doesn't – I mean, they had that one great game against Georgia, but they really haven't looked that good.
I'll take Louisville, but I guess I'll take them close. Then we've got Arkansas at Mizzou. This was a blowout last year. Arkansas is out for blood. Mizzou's not that great. Do you think there could be something here?
Mizzou was overrated to start the season.
They still are.
Arkansas is – improving, and they still have better athletes, so I think Arkansas is going to win it.
All right, Florida, one of the nicest stories this year, they go to Florida State.
Florida State's having a horrible year. Florida has managed to put the program back together and keep Billy Napier's job intact, and this is not going to change. Florida's going to beat Florida State.
And I think they beat them soundly. Oklahoma goes to LSU. Oklahoma probably having a hangover game. LSU trying to finish strong. They're in Death Valley. I got the Tigers winning this one.
Me too. I like LSU.
And then
hard to play in Death Valley.
Absolutely. And then Texas. This one's very indicative. Texas goes to Texas A&M, 3 visiting 20. Revived rivalry. Longhorns only favored by 5.5. Aggies maybe trying to bounce back. Longhorns out. Longhorns just haven't impressed me. Winner faces Georgia in the SEC title game, I believe.
You know what? 11 years of pent up anger and anguish between these two teams, not having played each other. in a, what was a traditional rivalry, and it being a home game at Texas A&M, and Texas A&M coming off a two-point loss in four overtimes to Auburn, they're going to be on fire. And the crowd is going to be in it. That 12th man thing there is real. I really think they're going to – if they don't beat Texas, it'll be by less than 3 points loss.
Yeah, I do take A&M winning that game. I think the score I had was like 27-21, somewhere in that realm. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, and brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub. When we return, we'll hit the last couple of these nationally relevant rivalries, maybe some playoff implications or upset alerts here, and then we will send you off into your Thanksgiving Thursday.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
War Eagle fans, the Big Auburn Football Watch Party is Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown. O'Reilly's is home of the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club and the perfect spot to root your Tigers on. O'Reilly's with TV screens throughout the bar, delicious eats from pub bites to sandwiches, wings, football platters, and full meal fares. Quench your thirst from a huge variety of beers, beverages, and extensive bar selections. The Auburn Football Watch Party, Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub, 321 South Palafox Street, downtown. War Eagle! Get ready, Alabama fans, for the Roll Tide Radio Show, Friday mornings from 10 till 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Get caught up on the latest Crimson Tide updates, game analysis, and upcoming matchups. Time to talk some football, Alabama football. The Roll Tide Radio Talk Show, every Friday from 10 till 11 a.m., brought to you by Cantonment Ace Hardware, right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. Roll Tide.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up. You can go farther and save on full synthetic with our oil change special. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $33.99. Get the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Hey folks, when it comes to Christmas trees, don't get played by foreign plastic. Just like you wouldn't replace a prized QB with a mannequin. Don't replace American Farm Fresh trees with fake foreign plastic. These farm families are the MVPs of Christmas, growing champions right here on American soil. They're not sitting on the bench. They're out there every day growing real Christmas traditions. Make the winning choice, Farm Fresh Christmas trees, not foreign plastic that pollutes. Visit GetRealKeepItReal.com to find your local farm MVP.
May your Christmas be filled with joy, love, and laughter. This is Clark Merritt at the Port of Pensacola wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hey, I'm Kirk Waters from Avalon HR. We want to wish all our friends in the Pensacola area a very happy holiday season.
Hey, this is Terrence Gross from Gross & Schuster wishing everybody a happy holiday season.
This is Darren Costello at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, 8190 West Fairfield Drive, Pensacola, Florida, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Sunday, the Chargers clash with the Falcons at 11 a.m. Then at 7 p.m., the 49ers rumble with the Buffalo Bills on ESPN Pensacola.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. And Bill, with it already being 10:56, we'll just get some quick hitters here. Luckily, outside of the SEC, there's not a ton of nationally relevant rivalry games going on. One example of that is number 2 Ohio State hosting Michigan. Michigan. They're 6-5, man. They're just trying to clinch a winning record with this game and play spoiler. Ohio State favored by 20 in the shoe. You think Michigan can get it done?
Not unless something unexpected happens.
Barring a miracle, Ohio State's got it. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Ohio State's just going to be too much. Got a couple of upset alerts here, I think, because there's a couple of unproven teams sitting near the top 5 or 6. Number 5 Notre Dame goes to USC. USC's also 6-5 at home. Do you think the Trojans can stun Notre Dame? Notre Dame's only favored by 7.5.
Southern Cal is capable of beating Notre Dame, but only at home.
Yeah.
I don't see them being able to do it on the road. So I do give them a chance this year.
Well, and then you got number 6 Miami. They travel to Syracuse. Syracuse is 8-3. For Miami to win this game on the road, it would probably be one of their bigger wins of the year, which is a testament to how weak their schedule is, because I think Syracuse just beat UConn by a touchdown last week. But Syracuse at home, it's a decent way to travel. Miami, we've seen them lay an egg late in the season before when they had a great season. I think it was against Pitt back in, 2017? So Miami could be tripped up here. They have a nasty habit of having slow starts against mediocre ACC competition. Does Syracuse play spoiler? Miami favored by 11 in the JMA Wireless Dome.
I do like Syracuse in this game because Miami, I don't think that record reflects what kind of football they're playing. They should have lost to Virginia Tech.
Yes.
So they should have one more loss on their record.
Arguably should have lost to Cal.
Yes. So they can be beaten, and I think with it being a home game at Syracuse, I think Syracuse can beat them.
Yeah, so do you think Syracuse gives them a scare, or do you think Syracuse beats them outright?
No, I think Syracuse beats them.
Oh, man, that's going to raise –
it'll be a close game, but I think Syracuse gets them.
Whew, that's going to raise a lot of questions regarding who's going to make the bracket then, because you could be left with a couple of two-loss ACC teams. One of them wins the title, and the other one is like an SMU or whatever, and that's when Alabama and Ole Miss are really going to start salivating if they see an argument like that to be made. All right. This is another, I think, upset alert just because it's a strange rivalry. Number 16, Arizona State at Arizona. Arizona State, front runner to win the Big 12. Arizona, 4-7 on the year, but they're hosting. Do you think the Wildcats trip them up? This is one of those tricky rivalries. You never really know the winner.
Nah, I like Arizona State.
Okay, well, we know the winner this time. And then just very quickly here, number 24, K-State at number 18, Iowa State. A very telling game in Big 12 play. Yeah, I mean, who do you got? Iowa State favorite.
I have loved Kansas State this season, even though their record's not what I thought it was going to be. They are a very good football team, and I really believe that they can go into Iowa State and pick this game up.
Yeah, I'll take K-State by double digits as well. All right, so we've got Auburn, Alabama. Who's your pick, my friend?
Obviously, I'm going to pick Auburn, 24-21.
Really, I've got Alabama 31-21. There's just too many red flags for me here in Tuscaloosa and everything. But I hope I'm wrong for what it's worth.
I hope you're wrong, too. happy Thanksgiving, everybody. War Eagle. And go to Coaching 4 and go to O'Reilly's. Meet us there for the watch party Saturday.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.